Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's my great delight to welcome back a good friend of Fire on the Earth and a longtime friend, Dr. Peter Williamson. Dr. Peter Williamson is the Adam Cardinal Mita Chair in Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Seminary, a major seminary in Detroit. And he's the editor, co-editor of a fantastic Catholic Bible commentary called the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. And I've asked Peter to join me this week to talk about the latest edition of it, which is from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which is a fantastic letter. And it can be a little confusing, but there's just such great themes that can be directly applied to our lives in there. And Peter's done a great job through the commentary of helping that whole thing come alive. So welcome back, Peter.
Thanks, Pete. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it is good to have you back. So I was thinking maybe today what we could do to start with is just give a little bit of background to the commentary. Tell us about the commentary. Tell us about background to Galatians, and then we'll start to drill in to it.
Sure. So, well, the commentary arose, it's now about 15 years ago, when Dr. Mary Healy and I noticed that there was a gap in commentaries available for Catholics. There were study Bibles. The Ignatius Catholic Study Bible was beginning to come out, and there were some others, but most of the commentaries that were available tended to be pretty academic, written for scholars, at least the Catholic ones. And we found that, on the other hand, evangelical Protestants had some very good ones that were written for helping people live the faith. And so there was actually one series in particular, a Protestant series, that I said, gosh, I wish we had a Catholic version of that. And the idea dawned of, hey, let's start one. Let's write one. So yeah. I talked to Mary, and it was a long process. Kevin Parada joined us. We searched many, many publishers, and we finally found one that would sign up for this thing. It's a big commitment, and we started. And now this November, we'll complete the series with the publication, October actually, with the publication of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So that's 17 volumes, covers the whole of the New Testament. And our series is aimed at, first of all, preachers and teachers of the word, people who are priests, deacons, Bible study leaders, but secondly, laity that are serious about the Bible, you know, that are interested in the Bible. This isn't the starter book, but it's not for scholars. It's for ordinary college-educated people, let's say, or even just readers. Anybody who reads can benefit from this. Yeah. So that's the background to the commentary series.
Very, very good.
And the publisher has just invited us to take on some of the Old Testament. Wow. So we're going to do 16 volumes of the Old Testament. We're just beginning that. It's at least a 10-year, if not a 15-year process, but we're taking courage and moving ahead.
That's a good sign. The publisher wants more from you. That means it's working.
It is. What they say is that they don't just sell the first year, but they kind of continue to sell. And the whole series is growing. Mm-hmm. As people know by word of mouth about it, try one, and then they say, I'll try another, and so on. So there's a steady, strong growth that the publisher's happy with. It's not like a flyaway top bestseller, but it's kind of like steady, solid growth that shows that it's serving the people, which is the most satisfying kind of thing for us as
it's great to have authors. A commentary that's up to date in terms of scholarship and the rest of it, and also commentary that's thoroughly Catholic. It's got, you know, so it integrates all of that, which is really wonderful.
Yeah.
It's not too thick, like it's not too condensed and too technical.
Exactly.
But it's technical enough, gives you everything you really need to know as a teacher, as a preacher, as a leader, that kind of stuff. And then it's got reflections in there in each of the
We want to apply it to life. Yeah. What scripture, not only what did it mean then, what's it mean now?
Right, exactly.
And we also insist on ordinary language because scholars are used to writing for scholars.
Right.
So one of the things that we lean on scholars the hardest about is forcing them to put it in ordinary language that doesn't require translation for preaching or teaching or applying to life.
Yeah. Now, I notice you co-authored this one, so to speak, of Galatians. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's co-authored between myself and Cardinal Albert Van Hoy, spelled Van Hoy. Mm-hmm. And he was my teacher in Rome. He taught at the Pontifical Biblical Institute. I was a student at the Gregorian University. I had him for two classes, at least two or three, and then I also interviewed him a variety of times. What I've done is I've taken his book on Galatians. Actually, that was the foundation of the course that he gave to me in the mid-90s. He published a book in 2000, and so we adapted that book for our series, and I collaborated with him on that. So it's not fundamentally my book. It's really his expertise in scholarship, but kind of adapted in a way that simplifies, peels away extraneous scholarly information, and just tries to get the insight across. Okay. And he has deep insight. He's a great scholar. They used to talk about him as the only biblical scholar that Joseph Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict, trusted.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. No, that's not true. He trusted others, but he was highly esteemed by Joseph Ratzinger.
Oh, that's saying a lot, for sure. So let's dig into Galatians.
All right.
Maybe a kind of a broad perspective to start with, or whatever you'd like to do, actually.
Okay, well, Galatians is an exciting book because in it, Paul is like really upset. And it's an emotional, it's one of his most emotional letters. Maybe this one in 2 Corinthians. And so you see Paul at his sort of passionate heights. And what's going on is his concern is about the gospel, because a group of people that he had evangelized in the region of Galatia had received some other teachers who came in, and they said, you Gentile Christians, you need to keep the law of Moses if you're going to be part of the people of God. You're not really in a right relationship with God. You're not really justified or right with him. You're Gentile sinners. In order to do that, you need to get circumcised and start observing Torah and eating, following the diet of Israel. No more pork.
Yeah, yeah.
No more bacon, guys.
Yeah.
And you need to, you know, observe the ritual days, the Sabbaths and stuff like that. So Paul understood that this is a profound challenge to the truth of the gospel. One, it excluded a lot of Gentiles who might not feel like circumcision and living the Jewish way of life is what they were called to. But then secondly, it was confused about what's the foundation of our relationship with the Lord. So it's a book in which Paul is emphasizing the truth of the gospel is something we cannot compromise on.
What's the central issue there, would you say?
The central issue is what puts a person in a right relationship with God. And under the Old Covenant, it was the law of Moses. It was circumcision, keeping that, and being a part of Israel, being a descendant of Abraham. They're the ones that had a relationship with God, while the whole Gentile world didn't. But Paul says, now there's a new covenant, and it puts people in a relationship with God on a different basis, on the basis of faith rather than works, and on the basis of the action of the Holy Spirit, and on the basis of union with Christ, rather than what we do, rather than just our behavior. Of course, it has implications for behavior. We have to act in a way that's consistent with God. But the basis of our relationship with God has changed since the Messiah has come, and the whole human race is being brought into a closer relationship with God, a new kind of relationship with God.
Why doesn't the law accomplish that?
Yeah. Well, what Paul says is that the law can't give life. The law is something that was given by God to the human race for a certain stage, for a certain period, the period of Israel, according to the flesh, of the Old Covenant. But that was just a stage in God's plan, and that God's plan was to bring human beings into a greater freedom and of adulthood. So our relationship with God was not determined by observance of the law of Moses, which in the sense showed human beings their faults, because the function of the law ended up showing people that they can't live it, that human beings under their own power can maybe come sort of close, but that's the best they get to, you know, and that we need a different kind of power at work in our lives in order for us to be in a right relationship with God.
I think Paul might even have said it here in different ways, but if you're going to go that way, Paul, saying if you're going to go back that way, you better keep the whole law.
Yeah.
And the problem is you can't keep the whole law. Why can't we keep the whole law, Peter? Like, why not?
Yeah. Well, it's because now what Paul says in Galatians, he expands on and lays out in a more systematic and calm way in the book of Romans. But in the book of Romans, chapter 7, he speaks about why we can't observe the law. And he basically says that there's another law at work, the law of sin. That is to say, since the time of Adam, since the time of the human race disobeyed God, a principle got introduced into us of rebellion against God and sin. And so Paul says, you know, when I hear the law, it sounds great, and I try to do it, but I find that the very thing I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do is what I do. You know, I didn't know anything about covetousness till I heard the commandment, you shall not covet. And now there's covetousness all over in me, you know? And covetousness meaning probably lust also, desire for what isn't ours. And he says, so the law exposes our sin. It doesn't actually help us keep from sinning. And so we human beings need a new power, an interior power, to live in a way that pleases God. And Romans tells us, Romans 8, Paul says at the end of that chapter, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, so that the just requirements of the law can be fulfilled in those who live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh.
Yeah, and Paul's got like a keen insight into the human condition or human anthropology that we don't just need laws to kind of guide our steps. We need to become a new creation, he says at certain points. Why? Because the sin thing you described is deep in us, and the sin problem produces the death problem for us, and that sin and death is a separation from God. And that it's just by faith that through believing in Jesus Christ and his life, passion, death, and resurrection, and being baptized in him and receiving the Holy Spirit, that we get a new life.
Amen.
And what we need is a share in the divine life of God to pass from death to life. And so Paul does have that line in there. He says, you know, if the law could give life, then great.
Yeah.
But it can't.
Exactly.
All it can do is be a light to shine on us to say how I fall short of loving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and my neighbor as myself, and all the rest of the laws that the human heart can't reach it on its own because of sin.
Yeah. And let me say, this is a very real thing for Christians today. I remember at an earlier stage, when I was a young man, when I aspired to be a Christian, and I just kept bumping into all the things I couldn't do right, and I had the idea that being a good Christian meant observing all these good religious practices and being righteous in all these kind of ways, and I kept feeling condemned, feeling a lot of guilt in my life.
Because you couldn't bat 1,000%.
Because I couldn't bat 1,000%. And almost the harder I tried, the more I failed and, it tempted me to give up. And I can think of some young Catholics, friends, relatives of mine where that's right now the issue. But the good news of the gospel is that we can learn to connect with the power of God in a way that can help us to live a righteous life. Not flawless, not perfect. We still need to confess our sins. We need to ask for forgiveness. But I found then that there was another way to live that wasn't focused on what are the things I ought not to do, but are instead focused on living life in the Spirit, focused on the things of God. And I found that I could actually start to live in a way that was pretty good. And because I was letting the Spirit of God work in my life, I was nourishing myself with that. And I wasn't focusing on me keeping the law or observing everything or being so good or avoiding all these wrong things. It was somehow a relationship with Christ that kind of enabled me to live a better life.
No, it's really good. And there's even Jesus talked in the Gospels about abiding, learning how to abide in him.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us in baptism, and we learn to live with Jesus and abide in him.
Yeah.
And 70 times, 7 times a day, if we need to, we can go to him.
Yeah.
And the righteous man falls 7 times a day. These are realities.
Yeah.
And Jesus knows our frame, Scripture says.
Yeah.
And he forgives us. But as we live with him and abide, he gradually changes us.
Absolutely.
Well, this program went very fast, Peter. Friends, we're going to dive more into this tomorrow. I hope you can join us. Tell your friends to join us, because it's going to get better as the days go on. There's a lot here from the Lord for us. So God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789, that's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or subscribe to our podcast.